Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call today, courtesy of an old friend of mine, Bill Schoenig, on WOAI. We hope.
Yeah, we do. It's not going.
Hit it on the side.
I'm gonna hit it on the side. Wait, that might have actually worked, Steve. For once, it actually worked.
On that 4-on-2, hands to Hayward, stops, gets Butler to pop, and he goes up and off the glass and in. Oh, he put Jimmy Butler in a jack-in-the-box, and he went pop.
Bill Schoenig with the call, San Antonio Spurs. I knew Bill back in the days when he did Texas. Great guy. Really a lot of respect for Bill personally and professionally, and I've been thrilled that he's done so well. Now he's doing the Spurs games. Not bad. Bill Schoenig, WOAI, San Antonio. Okay, All right, prop bets. Now, this is something, Kevin, this is right up your alley. If we had to sit down, you know, we have a big meeting, what does Kevin want to talk about? This would be one of the things that you would want to talk about.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny that.
So let's get to it. You've got the list there. Let her rip.
All right. The first one is on the entertainment side. Will Peyton Manning announces retirement in the postgame interview. Paying 10-1 no, 5-1 yes.
No.
Now, it has to be live on the broad. It has to be on the live broadcast. It can't be in the postgame press conference. It has to be like on the podium.
If they were to win, I do not believe that Peyton Manning would want to take away from the rest of his teammates by stealing the moment.
I would say you're probably right. He would want to make that on Monday or somewhere down the road.
Yes.
Agree with that. Will Peyton Manning be seen crying at any point during the entire broadcast? 6-1 yes, 1-12 no.
Depends on how hard he's hit by Luke Kuechly. No,
Well, here's the note. Live pictures only, must clearly again, see a tear.
No, I don't think so. Part of this is I'm not so sure they're going to win, but that's...
Now this one I don't understand, and maybe there's a history behind this that I'm just not thinking about, but how many times will dab or dabbing be said by the announcers during the live broadcast?
Oh, that's for Dabo Swinney.
Oh, see, I was trying to think of a reason for doing that during the game, and I wasn't even thinking about him.
Cam Newton does that when he scores sometimes.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking about him doing that. Yeah. I was trying to think of something happening during the game.
Yep.
How many times will Cam Newton do the open shirt Superman motion during the game? The over-under is 2.5 on that. Here's one of my favorite entertainment ones, besides the earthquake one. Will Mike Carey be wrong about a challenge?
Yes.
I think he will, too. I would take the yes there. Let's see. What else do we have? How many times?
Every game he's wrong.
It
about
seems
something.
That way. Yeah.
It is stunning. Where you say to yourself, you know, I'd like to go back now and check his record when he went under the hood.
Ferrer is usually pretty good. Yeah, I mean, he can usually call it pretty well.
And the college guys are not that great. You know, if you notice, the college guys that they put in the ESPN booth have been a little wishy-washy about it.
How many times will the Golden Gate Bridge be shown during the broadcast? The over-under is only 0.5.
A half?
Yeah. I would take over.
It's either one or none.
Or none, yeah. It's either one or none. I would take the over on that. That's going to be the opening shot.
Does that have to be during the game? No, it won't be the opening shot.
Well, here's the problem. From kickoff to final whistle and halftime doesn't count. So it would have to be a cutaway shot.
I'll say none.
See, I would say one. I think they're going to do one in a cutaway shot if they don't do it in the open.
Here's the issue. It's 40 miles away.
Yeah, but most everybody in the East Coast doesn't know that.
Okay.
Well, but they're going to say San Francisco 49ers. They're not going to think that's 40 miles from San Francisco. I get it. I know that, but it doesn't click. I mean, you think the 49ers, you think San Francisco.
In fact, the Golden Gate's like 45 miles away because, I mean, where they put the Broncos in Santa Clara. I think they're staying at the hotel that we stayed in when I was there for basketball. And they put the Panthers in San Jose. The media's in Alcatraz.
Literally on the island?
No, that was a joke.
I know they made it a tourist attraction. I thought maybe they put a hotel there.
No, they have not. That was just a joke. But they're in San Francisco. We had Joe Person
delivery.
On the show yesterday. We had Joe Person on the show yesterday. About the Carolina Panthers, and he was in San Francisco. And we were talking about the logistical nightmare it is for the media trying to work out of San Francisco, but everything is like 40 to 45 miles south of there.
Now, here's one I know that you're going to be watching closely. Which song will Coldplay play first during the halftime show?
My odds of watching the halftime show are pretty slim.
I'm going with clocks on that one. I'm going to go with clocks.
Okay, sure. I'm with you.
What color will Beyonce's footwear be when she comes on stage for the halftime show?
I'll vote red.
Your options are black, gold, brown, white, silver, gray, or any other color. Well, I guess any other color would be all right. That's a 7-1.
Okay.
Let's see.
I won't be watching that either. I won't be watching that. Believe me, it gets to halftime. I'm eating. I have no interest in that at all.
Here's one that up until about 3 weeks ago probably would not have been a prop bet. Will the referee redo the coin toss?
Right, they won't.
Yeah, but 3 weeks ago, that never would have been a prop bet.
Right, but they won't.
And by the way, kudos to NBC for the slow motion camera shot following the coin all the way up and all the way down and not showing it flip. Great shot. I mean, who thinks of following the coin all the time and being able to do it in slow-mo? I was impressed.
They do it all the time. They'll show it. You watch what they did. Yeah, it gets shown.
I mean, they had a really good angle on everything, too. I mean, you have your normal ones. Who wins the coin toss? Will it be heads or tails? First team to score, total points, highest scoring quarter. Will either team score three unanswered times in a game? Will it be a score in the final 2 minutes? Let's see. I'm trying to find some more unusual prop bets. These are the prop bets that most people in Vegas put money on. You know, the first player to score a touchdown. Will Peyton Manning throw a pick six? Those are some of the player prop bets. Von Miller's total sacks in the game.
I don't think Peyton Manning will. I think because they're thinking of Luke Kuechly, obviously, who's been able to. Kuechly is just an unbelievably good player. But I think there's actually a better chance that the Broncos get a pick six.
Now, here's some ones that involve everybody. So if you have, this is a prop bet. If you're having a Super Bowl party, you can actually have in your living room with people who aren't fans of the game. All right, if they're just there because it's a big event. The cross-sport prop bets, what's going to be higher? Trump's points in the New Hampshire primary or the game itself? Or total points scored by the winning Super Bowl team? Those are ones you can have for people that aren't actually football fans. And they actually, and by the way, these are legitimate bets that you can make. If Carolina wins the Super Bowl, Trump wins the presidential election. 13-4 the odds there. Carolina wins the Super Bowl, Clinton wins the presidential election. Carolina wins the Super Bowl, Sanders wins the presidential election. 5-1 are the odds on that one, by the way.
Okay.
Favorite would be Denver winning the Super Bowl and Clinton winning the presidential election.
Okay.
Again, some of the crossover ones. Some of these crossover ones are actually really good. There was another one that was really good, too. Here's one that you would bet on, Steve, if you were a betting man. What will be higher, the total goals?
And I'm not.
And you're not. What will be higher, total goals in the Montreal-Carolina NHL game on February 7th or the total receptions by Greg Olsen? I mean, who comes up with this stuff?
Well, you know, I don't know. I have no idea.
Let's see. What will be higher, Tiger Woods' first-round score at the 2016 Masters or Emmanuel Sanders' receiving yards?
Well, I don't think Tiger Woods is going to play in the 2016 Masters.
Well, and I don't think he's going to get – I think Emmanuel Sanders will have at least 80 yards.
Yeah, but again, I don't think Tiger Woods is playing in the 2016 Masters.
And then one for our friend Sean Carey, who's a big – and you know what? This is one that Tarman might want to do. Jeff Tarman might. Those are the two people I know that watch the Premier League a lot.
Tarman has been locked in today on Leicester City and Liverpool, just so you know.
He's
been
locked
in today. Okay, and Leicester City, now Tarman's in a bad mood already. Leicester City leads 2-0.
Oh, no.
70th minute.
Oh, no.
So we're going to have to put up with Grumpy Bear at dinner tonight.
2-0 with 20 minutes to go.
Yeah.
That's crunch time now. Well, listen, I need his advice on this one. What will be higher, Arsenal's goals on February 7th or Peyton Manning's TD passes?
Who's Arsenal playing February 7th?
I don't know. I'd have to look that up.
I mean, they could be playing Stoke, and it could be a rout.
Let's see. We'll look up their schedule here in a moment.
Yeah, you have to have Arsenal's schedule to know who they're playing.
Well, I bet you Tarman could tell you right now.
Arsenal? I doubt he could tell you on Arsenal. Dave Baker could. Dave Baker's the Arsenal guy.
Let's see. That's February 7th, right?
Yes, that's what you said, yes.
All right. Burnmouth. Is that it? I honestly don't know anything about the Premier League. It Bournemouth, or I don't know, something like that.
What, Bournemouth?
Yeah. Bournemouth?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I don't know. But that's who they're playing on Sunday, February 7th. That's Arsenal's matchup.
And is it Peyton Manning has more touchdown passes than how many goals they score?
Yes, it's based on Arsenal's total goals on that game or Peyton Manning's touchdown passes, which is higher.
Oh, that's actually pretty close. All right.
And I would assume ties lose.
Okay. And then, of course, I know there's one about the left shark. I've heard about the left shark and Katy Perry so much this week that, honest to goodness, I sort of watched it last year, and I don't even remember it happening.
Really? Even I remember that. I did see the left shark here. Let me find it.
I sort of watched it, but I didn't care.
I like Katy Perry, so I watched it closely.
I watched it, but I don't care. I mean, she sang, she did all her hits. You're like, okay, great. I recognize most of that stuff. It's all good. Don't really, you know, the background dancers don't know.
Here it is.
Why they're background dancers.
Here it is. A year removed from the Left Shark's notable performance in Katy Perry's halftime show, you can bet on whether he will make a guest appearance during the Super Bowl 50 halftime show. 15-1 are the odds that the Left Shark will make an appearance on stage during the Super Bowl halftime show. I still can't believe you found that one.
Well, I know about it. I mean, I'm not in a cave.
How many million viewers will the Super Bowl have? over under is 117 million.
120 plus.
How many wings will Buffalo Wild Wings sell on Super Bowl Sunday?
I couldn't even begin to guess.
Well, the over under is 12 million.
Well, I'm not really a wing guy.
I love wings. Actually, my mouth's watering now just thinking about it.
Yes. Wow, 12 million wings. Wow.
That's a lot of chickens going wingless.
I just, yeah. You know, I for me, what will be fun for me about the game is I just get to sit back and do nothing on that, because I've got two games on Saturday. I've got women's hockey at 2:30 and men's basketball. I'm on the air at 7:30. It's an 8 o'clock start. So after that, you know, Sunday I'll just be able to kick back and just watch the game, and I'll have something to eat before the game. I'll get to halftime. I'll absolutely have something to eat, because I could care less what they're doing out there at halftime. You know, I really could. And then I'll watch the second half.
I have a tough time at the Super Bowl. It's like, when do you take a break to go to the table to get something to eat? Because I want to see the commercials, but I also want to see the game too.
Oh, no offense to.
I know
the commercials. The commercials. The commercials are obviously, the production value in them is unbelievable. Because this is the start of all their ad campaigns, so they've thrown every ounce into it. I mean, really, that's what we're seeing. It's also February. It's sweeps month. It's heavily watched. And this will be the ad campaign. So I understand that. But no. I don't.
I have not seen a series of commercials much better than Terry Tate, office linebacker.
I sort of remember it, but.
You know you need a cover sheet on your TPS report, Roger. That was, if I remember right, that was Nike. I think they only mentioned Nike like twice.
Was it? Didn't he thank someone named Janice?
Hi, Janice!
Yeah. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment.
Good memory.
We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
We're getting more from our employees than ever before.
You know you need a cover sheet on your TPS reports, Richard! That ain't new, baby!
Hey, Terry.
Hey, Janice!
You're shocked I remembered that.
I am shocked you remember that. And I was wrong. I said Nike. It was Reebok. I knew it was a shoe commercial. Hey,
well,
Janice!
Well, Henry Hynoski, who's been a part of a Super Bowl winning team, and of course from our area, is going to join us at 4:35. Kevin has been campaigning hard that for the remainder of the show, if he could wear the Super Bowl ring, just to get that feeling, he'd love to do it, even though it says Giants on it, not Pittsburgh Steelers.
It's a Super Bowl ring. I might even wear one that had Patriots written on it. All right, maybe not.
Oh, you would. Come on.
All right, I would.
I mean, pride for you got flushed a long time.
Yeah, that's true.
You're desperate. You're desperate no matter what.
Now, Ravens, I would draw the line there. I would not wear that.
Oh, you do it. What are you talking about?
No, the standards are really, really low, but no.
You would do it. Come on. Golly. The funny thing is, I remember when the Giants got in by beating the Cowboys the last day of the regular season. My son was at the game. I was in Dallas that night because I was getting ready for the Ticket City Bowl. Ticket City Bowl? Yeah. And they won. And they got in. And then, of course, they had the great run. Interesting, though, and I will ask him about this, just about pure reaction. But remember, one of the draft choices for the Giants happened to be that year. Tyler Sash out of Iowa here. Then they clobbered the Falcons. They beat Green Bay, really, with relative ease. And then they beat the 49ers in overtime. So Henry Ionoski coming up next. We'll talk about what it's like to go through Super Bowl week and whether or not Kevin can wear temporarily his Super Bowl ring. Fantasyland is open.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Today on the road in Coralville, Iowa. We were supposed to fly in here tonight, but because of the storm across the Midwest, we had to come in here last night. The streets were deserted when we came in. They were all out caucusing last night. And then five different people declared victory. And here we are today. Great to have you with us. We'll be here tomorrow as well with Penn State and Iowa playing tomorrow night at Carver-Hawkeye. We'll get a chance to see firsthand one of the top teams in the country, and Penn State's going to see them twice in 2 weeks. They're going to see them tomorrow night and then in the Jordan Center on the 17th of the month. Our sports bozo of the day is quite simple. It is Johnny Manziel. He basically has taken everything he's been given. He throws it away repeatedly, and the Browns are going to cut bait and move on. New management, new coach, and they're looking around saying, look, we don't need this guy around us anymore. And it looks like March will be the time that he will be cut by the Cleveland Browns. Very pleased to bring with us former New York Giants running back and a Super Bowl champion, Henry Ionoski. We welcome him back to the show. Hi, Henry. Welcome.
Hey, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
First of all, Kevin wants to know if for 20 minutes if he can wear your Super Bowl ring.
20 minutes? I think I can manage that, sure.
I was even willing to lower it to 2 minutes, but if you've got 20 minutes, I'm there, man.
Hey, all the time you need in the world. It's just sitting right now in my safe, so I barely even wear it unless it's a special occasion. I might bring it out twice a year, so the more people, the merrier.
That's what drives Kevin nuts. I've got Big Ten rings and things like that, and championship rings, and Kevin says, how come you never wear them? I said, they're in a drawer. I said, I don't do that.
Yeah, no, I wore it, quite a bit after we won, and I put it away for the most part. I was at my buddy's wedding. We had just gotten our rings. My buddy's wedding was a month after our ring ceremony. And, I was wearing it out every chance I got, and it was an outdoor wedding, and it was about 105 degrees out. And we're all dancing, we're sweating, and I have my big heavy ring on, and I did one of these twist moves, and my hand, I flung my hand around, and there goes my ring, and it slips off my finger, and it falls right in the middle of the dance floor on the outside, which was like a cobblestone type of dance floor, and the ring goes smacks right down on there, and the music stopped. Everybody looked, and you know, I picked it up, I looked at it, I said it's okay, and everybody started cheering again. And then, you know, at the wedding, I got a little loose with it, you know. I was giving it to people to, you know, pass it around, and, you know, everybody wanted to try it on. And, you know, next thing you know, a half hour later, I'm like, oh, my goodness, where's my ring? I couldn't find it for the next hour. Then somebody brings it to me and says, hey, I think this belongs to you. So after that, I put it away, and I learned my lesson.
It was funny. Nobody at this wedding wanted to catch the bouquet or the garter. They were waiting for you to throw the ring so they could catch it.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm ever since then, though, I've been a little more careful with it, and I only bring it out for, you know, real special occasion.
Well, just so you know, this would be a rental. All right, so
I am willing to pay. Steve is willing to pay for me.
Get a little paper out of it for you. After you beat the 49ers. How did you handle the ticket part of it to go to Indianapolis? Was that the importance of the first week when you didn't have to play, that you could straighten out the ticket part of it?
That was an issue, because, you know, everybody wants to go. And, you know, I had to limit it to my immediate family. You can only buy up to 12 tickets. And, you know, I have a huge family, a ton of friends. And so I just limited it just to my immediate family, so there would be no issues, you know, with, you know, other family members or other friends or anything like that. I didn't want to have one person be there and another one couldn't. So I only bought just enough tickets from the immediate family, and you know, just kept it that way. You know, just to say, because I didn't want, if I gave it to some friends, I didn't want to say, well, oh well, I don't want my friends saying, well, you gave it to him, why not me? You know what I mean? Or you gave it to one aunt, and not the other aunts or uncles, you know, or cousins and things of that sort. So. You know, we just kept it that way, and it seemed to work out to be the best in that situation. But it is a hectic thing to get accomplished. Luckily, I have a good understanding family and friends, and, you know, a lot of my former teammates, they weren't so fortunate as far as, you know, that was concerned.
Yeah, but that's that opening week, that off week, that's the time to organize so then you can lock in on the game itself, correct?
Right, exactly. And don't get me wrong, that first week, I mean, you're still down to business, too. You might have, you know, 1 or 2 days off, and then you're still practicing and doing all the preparation, you know, the same stuff that you will be doing the week before. But, you know, all the business stuff and, you know, all the, you know, stuff for your families with flights and everything, and helping them, you know, book that and all that stuff, you get that out of the way right away. And luckily, the Giants, when we went, they provided a charter flight for all the players' families, too, which was awesome. So, you know, they made it as stress-free and, you know, as easy of a process as they possibly could. That's, you know, that's the great thing about playing for such a reputable and good organization like the Giants. They handle all those things on your end for you.
Once you got there, you have to go through media day. Everybody does. And I've done the media day thing myself. I did it 2 years ago over at the Prudential Center when the Broncos played Seattle. So I know what the scene is like. What was it like for you to go through that? Because you don't go through that unscathed. And was there anything bizarre that you saw?
I mean, you know, you have valves. You know, it's not just the New York media anymore. You have valves from all over the world. And there's people there that you're talking to from, you know, like, you know, I had a bunch of people from Poland, you know, trying to come talk to me in the, I don't know Polish, even granted that's where my heritage is from, but I don't know or speak Polish. So, you know, you have people from other countries coming to talk to people, and reporters dressed up in, you know, different outfits and wild and crazy outfits. You know, you're just kind of hounded for that first day. But luckily, you know, I'm not Eli Manning or, you know, Victor Cruz, so I didn't get it as bad as those guys did. But, you know, it was more hectic for me after the Super Bowl, you know, having made, you know, a couple crucial plays and, you know, recovering the fumble and everything. After the game was more hectic for me, you know, being around the podium and, you know, having, you know, dozens and hundreds of people, you know, swamping it as far as that's concerned. So that was more of the hectic situation for me rather than beforehand.
couple of big catches in that game for you, the big Akeem Nicks fumble recovery that you had in the game as well. When it was over, did it feel surreal?
It still feels surreal. The whole process, you know, even getting to the Super Bowl feels surreal. You know, everything happened so quick for me with that whole situation, because if you guys remember, that was the year of the lockout. And I was unsigned until the lockout ended, and then that day was complete pandemonium. Pandemonium that day with teams trying to call you to sign you. And I ultimately chose New York, and I had a report there the next day. And then they tell me, okay, you're starting, and then against the Jets, I was starting in the preseason game, and then I hear I make the team, and then I'm starting in the regular season. And then we're winning games. Next thing you know, we're in the playoffs, and we keep winning in the playoffs. And before you know it, we're in the Super Bowl. And it just all happened so fast. I really didn't have a chance to sit down and think about what was actually happening. And I just thought that was the way it was supposed to go. And I thought I was going to be there every year. You know, and you really gain an appreciation for once you play a few years beyond that. And we didn't even come close to making the playoffs the years after that. You know, and you realize how hard it is and what an accomplishment it is just to get in the playoffs, let alone get to and win the Super Bowl. And it's just starting to kind of hit me now. You know, especially being out of football for the first year since I was 10 years old. Looking back on it, really is an amazing feat, and really hard to accomplish. And I'm just so fortunate and blessed to have accomplished that my first year. I wish I could have more opportunities to go, but you can't get too greedy and too selfish. If you already won one.
Yeah, well, guess what? You were the 4 years you were in. You're one of the better fullbacks in the league. You played for Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin finally had a parting of the ways with the Giants. I've been around him a few times, but from a player's perspective, what are your thoughts on the man, Tom Coughlin, and what did he mean to you?
Tom Coughlin, he meant everything to me. You know, he was a great mentor, a great coach, great person. You know, I know that he was a big fan, a big supporter of me and my style of play. And we always got along great. And granted, he was tough on me. He did push me to my limits, but he found a way to do that with not just me, but with everybody, to bring the best out into them. He found a way of always, finding that inner strength, that inner dog in the player to bring out the best that they have to offer. And I went down the facility the other day to the Giants facility to see some of the trainers and some of the staff that was there before they were cleaning house and everything. And Coach Coughlin was in there working out, and it was so weird not seeing him as my coach and having a conversation with him, not as my coach. And I was expecting him to come out and shake my hand, hi Henry, how you doing? And he came and he embraced me in a full hug, which kind of took me off guard. And it just goes to show you how we sat down and had conversations about life and other things besides football. And that really impressed me, and it really was amazing to have that experience with him. And and just being able to stay, we've said that we're going to stay in touch and remain close beyond football here. So that goes to show you what kind of guy he is. And his wife Judy, I can't say enough about her and how wonderful she is, and the charitable work that they do, and how great they were to my family and my fiance. So it's really, it's just like having another uncle is basically what it is.
You also came into the league at the same time as a guy named Tyler Sash, and I'm here, ironically, at Iowa, where he played his college football, and he played against Penn State, and I think he led the Big Ten in interceptions. Obviously, the tragedy with him, what kind of impact did that have on you based on everything we've heard and read about what happened with Tyler Sash, a former teammate of yours?
Well, that really hit home, because I don't know if you guys know this, but Tyler, I came in, he was in my draft class. He was one of my best friends. And, you know, it was just a complete shock. You know, didn't expect it. You know, just something that brings chills to your bones, and you know, it's just tough to talk about. And you see what, you know, the impact that sport has on players. And you know, I don't know if you guys saw this, but he was officially diagnosed with the brain disease CTE.
I did, yes.
You did. And,
yep.
And you know, now that explains, you know, a deeper meaning of why it happened this way, and, you know, a deeper meaning of what happened. And, you know, it just saddens me knowing that he was suffering. And, you know, we knew that, my friends and I, we saw changes in him, you know, progressively as, you know, our time went on together with the Giants and then after he was released and everything. But, you know, we just thought it was normal, you know, post-career, you know, football stuff that all players go through. Obviously, he was going through something deeper than that. And, you know, it gave us and, you know, I talked to his family. It gave his family a lot of clarification. And, you know, you never want to see that anybody go through that, especially one of your best friends. But, you know, it goes to show you that this sport, it's scary. And, they're, you know, people see the glamour and, you know, all the fame and stuff on TV, but, you know, a lot of people don't see the issues that these players actually go through and that are coming true. You know, there's probably more players out there that are currently living with this disease CTE, and people don't even know about it because you can't be diagnosed with it until you pass away, unfortunately. So, you know, it's scary from that perspective, too, that, you know, some of your best friends, or, you know, even yourself, you know, you don't know if you have it or not. And, you know, it really is just a scary situation, but, you know, it's part of the game, and, you know, it's unfortunate.
I'll end this with you on a little lighter note. This is Peyton Manning's week, obviously, with Cam Newton on the other side. It's not as if you're not immune to being around a Manning. You're around Eli Manning for years. So what is it about that makes Eli Manning special and about being Manning special?
Well, I'll tell you what. The one thing I could say about the Mannings is they are incredible, incredible workers. And when they have a goal in their mind, you know, you can expect them to accomplish it. And, you know, I think that, you know, on paper, I think that the Panthers, I think that they're, you know, the better team on paper. I think that they have equivalent defenses, and I think that the Panthers have a better offense, which is why, you know, I thought they were going to win this game, or think that they're going to win this game. But, you know, something just seems fitting here that Peyton's going to come out on top, and that it would only be right if it happened that way. And, you know, I know that Peyton's going to come out and give it all, because it's more than likely going to be his last game. And he's going to come out with fire. And, you know, I know that he's going to do everything in his power to play the best game of his career. And, you know, it's just something in the air. You know, I know all over, you know, the Broncos are underdogs. And, you know, on paper, Panthers are better. But for some reason, I just have this feeling that Peyton's going to come out on top. And I think that, you know, just being around Eli, I don't know Peyton personally, but just their competitive streak, their attitude, their overall demeanor, how they approach the game. I don't know if you're going to find two guys that are more meticulous in their studying and game plan than they are, and that's why they're great, and that's why they're going to go down as the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. So I think it will be nice, and I'd like to see them get a victory for Peyton's sake and the Manning family, just because, you know, I got to be such close good friends with Eli over the years.
Every time you're on the show, I think I enjoyed even more. Thanks so much. It was great to have you on the show, and we'll talk about the rental fee for him to wear your ring.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. Anything you ever need, you know where to find me.
All right. Henry Hynoski, who won a Super Bowl championship with the New York Giants, spent four outstanding years in the NFL, and a heart and soul guy that any team cannot win without. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Never did get to the prop bet story. You'll love this. Okay. Dave Baker, John Gray, and I are in Boston to do a game. I was going to do a game at BU, at Boston University. And it was when it was, it was going to be a Monday night. And so we were in Boston, and the Raiders are playing the the Redskins. So John and Dave decide to have a little bit of fun here and put some money on the game, $20 on the game. And Dave has the Raiders and John has the Redskins. Well, now it's becoming obvious as the game is going along that, okay, this isn't going that great, and Dave does not want John's money. So they get to just before halftime, and Dave says, hey, double or nothing. The Redskins have the ball. Double or nothing that on the Raiders scoring before the end of the half. Great. So then Theismann throws it, and Jack Squirek picks it off, and he runs it back for a touchdown. Now John's down 40. So now we get to in the third quarter. Again, Dave doesn't want John's money. So he says, hey, double or nothing on the Raiders scoring before the end of the third quarter. Marcus Allen goes 74 yards for a touchdown. Now Dave's down 80. So now they get to the fourth quarter, and Dave does not want John's money. He goes double or nothing on the extra point, and Mosley misses it wide right. And John's down $160. They finally figured out, I can't even remember how they figured out at the end how to make sure there was no money changing hands. But we were hysterical. Every single thing Dave did to get it back to even went wrong.
Here, the extra point. Nobody misses an extra point.
Mark Mosley of all people. And he missed it wide right. We were in hysterics at that point. Unbelievable.
Listen, I want to let Henry know that I will not be dancing when I'm wearing his ring because I don't want to take any chances.
Just so you know, my understanding is that it's been cut down to 30 seconds.
Done. 30 seconds is fine.
Yeah, you need to have a little more pride in your life.
No standards. Haven't had standards in years. Lost them a long time ago.
I mean, I realize the Shemoke and Shikalimi thing went down the drain for you last night.
It did not end as close as I had hoped.
All right. But they don't give you a ring for that.
No.
And it bothers you that mine are in a drawer.
Joe Susan, you're my only hope.
I mean, I've had people ask me, why do you keep them in a drawer? I'm like, and don't wear them. I said, I don't know. It's not me.
I have my 298 ring from bowling, but it just reminds me that I missed two pins and didn't get the 300, so I don't wear that either.
Well, everybody reacts to different ways in the clutch.
Wow, that was harsh. It was a tough moment in my life. Wow.
Well, we get a psychologist on the show tomorrow.